Hello and welcome to the Killer Frogs Bullpen. This is our 14th episode. We got a packed guest today. We got Carson and Nate as usual, and joining us for the first time is our talented editor and man that does it all behind the scenes, Barry. Barry, how are you?
Well, good to be on here. Finally to be on to talk to you guys. How are you all tonight?
Good.
Doing yeah. Well.
Barry, you don't get to talk about, UTRGV tonight because that series got canceled, but we get to talk a little bit about the weekend series against Cincinnati. As most of you
there
will
was
know
a
by
weekend
now,
series against Cincinnati.
You were there firsthand. I think you know all about it, Barry. You know, TCU got swept. Barry, let's just jump into it. What do you think about it? You were there. You saw it in person.
So had a great weekend in Cincinnati. Joined a couple of our colleagues. Brett joined from Cleveland. Andrew and Olin joined us from Chicago. And so the four of us just decided to make it a great weekend in Cleveland. I will say this, I'm sorry, in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a great city. Love spending time there. A lot of great restaurants, a lot of fun to explore. Hated the baseball experience. Other than we did get away after the fifth inning on Saturday. Jumped in the Uber to go 12 minutes down the road, made it for the full Reds game. And in that game, the Reds were down 5-2 going into the bottom of the sixth. They got two runs in the sixth inning and then got another four runs, I believe, in the bottom of the eighth. So it was nice to see a team who could actually hit the ball, manufacture runs late in the game, and actually win a game.
Yeah, Barry, you're mentioning runs, and I don't know what those are at right now as a TCU fan.
Exactly.
Nate, how was your weekend? Did you enjoy the weekend of TCU ball?
To be honest, I could not watch much of it. I was just like, I can't. It's just it's just like confusing as a Horned Frog fan because you know they got the talent, and it's kind of sad just watching them just fail at that. So. But I saw some good moments, saw some bad moments, but we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, Carson, what about you?
I drank every day.
Was that because of TCU or?
Both. Okay. Just a little bit of both. Yeah. See, the problem here is I don't do that more than one day in a row. So that's my problem. Friday and Saturday, I was optimistic until about the fifth inning in both of those games. I watched two innings of the game on Sunday. That's all I needed. That's it. So you can probably guess how I felt about the weekend. I'll talk about it a little bit as we go through these questions and stuff.
Yeah. Barry, you noticed something about Cincinnati's facilities that you wanted to talk about.
And just because it was just so interesting to me. So I want you to visualize with me for a moment.
All
think
right.
of think of TCU's campus.
All right.
Specifically think of Lupton, the track area, the intramurals, the tennis, and the soccer fields in that part of campus.
Okay.
Now take out all of those parking lots that exist in that area. And then even condense that space even more. In that space, you put all of TCU's athletic facilities. All of them. Football stadium, basketball arena, everything in that space.
Thanks.
So, what? Exactly. So imagine you're sitting in the baseball stadium.
Okay.
And I know we don't understand this word, but in case you were to hit a home run,
okay,
you hit a home run to right field, over the fence in right field. Right. What's going to happen when you hit that home run? It's going to actually bounce off of the basketball arena. If you think about where the general admission seating is at Lupton, that first row of the berm out there in right field, that's the basketball arena is right there. If you were to hit a home run over, say, the left center wall. And if you were to, you know, if you were to be really bombing it and sending it far on, over that one, there is a remote chance that ball would roll into the football stadium. It's right there. If you were to hit, say, a foul ball down the left field line and go out of the stadium, it would bounce onto the track and then the soccer field. So everything is just right there. So if you had, so basically at Lupton, if the basketball arena is in the right field general admission area, the football stadium is in that first parking lot as you're headed out of Lupton walking to the soccer fields.
Right.
And the soccer field and the track is located before the indoor tennis courts. It's like, okay, here's one square block in this town of Cincinnati, and we're going to give you this for all Cincinnati sporting activities right here. It just blew my mind that it was so condensed.
Now, Barry, think about your triple threat days where you got all the sports in one. How much better would that be for you?
Oh, I thought about that because, you know, back in February, I did that. I went from Schollmeyer to Lupton, back to Schollmeyer, and did a triple header. I'm like, well, this would sure make my walk a lot easier if I was just running back and forth between the two. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, how much do we know how many alumni go to Cincinnati? Like, I just want to know, like, how, like, if it's so compact, it has to be like almost a fire violation everywhere you go, you know? Just
well,
from like density of people.
I think it's just they probably build adequate seating, especially around their baseball field that TCU doesn't have.
There, I will tell you this, as bad as the TCU team was this weekend, there were just as many, if not more, TCU fans in attendance than there were Cincinnati fans.
Yeah, they were talking about that on the broadcast a couple times. They were like, yeah, TCU fans, they really travel well. No, I think it's just that there's not many Cincinnati fans.
And most of those fans that traveled were family, players' families. But that's great.
Heck yeah.
That's great that they were. I met so many players' families. It was great. Sat yesterday afternoon next to Sam Myers' grandparents who came up from Houston. And Sam Myers probably had 10 family members that were in attendance. Saw quite a few other family members that were there. This leads me into something else I wanted to mention. I had the great pleasure of spending Saturday and Sunday sitting next to Tracy and Daryl Wattis. They are the parents of Zach Wattis. Mm-hmm. And I know Carson and I talked about this earlier in the week. We're like, who is Zach Wattis? Well, he did, I don't remember this, but he did make an appearance in one of the games at Globe Life Field. I think it was the second USC game. But then last week on Tuesday, he made his first start at TCU. And in his first at-bat at UTA, got a home run. So mom was quite impressed with that. But he's a freshman on the team. He's from Chandler, Arizona. Sound familiar? Anybody else from Chandler, Arizona we know?
Yeah, Klecker.
Not only is he from Chandler, Arizona, he and Cole Klecker went to high school together. And here's an interesting fact. They share a birth date. Not a birthday, a birth date.
Really?
Yeah. And so I got to learn a lot about Zach Wambus from his mom and his dad. And he has known and played with Carson Bowen since they were 11 on club baseball in Arizona and California. So also, I did not know this, and I think this might be something we need to talk about later when we're talking about what are we doing with these lineups. Cole Klecker started as a catcher and evidently had a big bat. So maybe we need him as DH instead of on the mound.
Well, something to think about. He's barely on the mound at all anymore.
Exactly. So let's see what he can do at the plate, maybe. So I thought that was interesting. I thought the connection to Carson Bowen was interesting. Just the Hamilton High School itself, evidently, Carson, you may know more about this. They are just evidently a really, really strong baseball school. And in Zach and Cole's senior class, every starting player on that team, their senior year, got a D1 offer.
Really?
And the
Oh my
year
gosh.
before, it was everyone except one. And that was a guy who had, I believe Zach's dad said his dad was a former MLB player and wanted him to go play JUCO to then be able to go from JUCO to MLB. So 2 years straight, basically everybody starting on the team getting to go a D1 offer to advance from there. So I thought that was just an incredible thing to talk about. I told his mom, I told her the story, and just to switch sports on us real quick, remember Madison Connor from women's basketball this year? She too
Yeah.
is from Chandler, Arizona.
Okay,
And
I knew that one. Yeah.
when I talked to her at Big 12 Media Day in Kansas City back in October, I was thinking about Cole Klecker, and I said, "We already have one star at TCU who's from Chandler. Do you think you can be a second?" And she said, "Absolutely." And she wasn't aware that Cole Klecker was from Chandler. She goes, "Absolutely. People from Chandler are all pretty good athletes. I think we'll do well." And then she reminded me that she went to high school with Brock Purdy. So
That's
there you go.
crazy.
That's an elite level athlete. Exactly.
I pulled up Hamilton High School, just their varsity baseball. They've in the past 8 years, they have been state champions 5 times.
Hey,
So
not
yeah.
all eight though. It proves that, baseball is baseball, right? I gotta find something to cope with right now.
Good
Hey.
try. Good try. Let's get into it.
So the last thing I just want to say about Zach before we move on, I thought this was an interesting stat. This was per his father. So I believe Zach is 6'3". So it was kind of interesting to see Zach play first base on Saturday, when we've been used to now seeing Carson and Curtis, who were not 6'3", at that position. So he's 6'3". He has the highest vertical leap of any player on the Frogs team at 41 inches.
Man,
We need
oh
to
my
pressure
God,
him. We needed him
that's
against Utah
awesome.
State.
Exactly. So I just say that just to say I think Zach's a player for us to put on our radar and just see what he does in the coming either coming weeks or next year when he's at TCU, and he might be a player of the future for us to be talking about. So
Yeah, for sure.
speaking of keeping an eye on him, at this point I think everyone's available. Let's jump into it. Game one. TCU went down to Cincinnati coming off a sweep against Houston. Things are looking good, and then they lose 4-2. Nightmare inning for Peyton Tolley, who was otherwise very good on the night. 5 2/3 from him, allowed 4 runs in the sixth inning. Kind of fell apart for him. Offense had 8 hits, out hit Cincinnati, just couldn't string anything together with runners in scoring position. Nate, what'd you see? What'd you see from that game one?
Yeah, I mean, Tolley did what he normally does, and he eliminated a lot of threats. But it was kind of like we've been talking about. We have that doom inning, and it's something that's bound to happen. It happens with a lot of teams. But I was actually impressed with our hitting that day. I felt like we should have got that win. But we just don't have any driving forces like what we have had in the past. Everybody's just kind of off, and with Logan Maxwell having an off weekend, it really doesn't help to drive people in. And I think until we have that driving force like Curtis Byrne was at the beginning, Logan Maxwell, or I would like to see Carson Bowen get into that role. We're not going to be able to score runs because they're just going to be left on base, and we strand too many runners.
I thought I was living in a nightmare where Maxwell went 0 for 5. I genuinely thought I was going to wake up.
Hey, Carson, he didn't get a hit all weekend. I know he didn't play the last two games, but I just wanted to say that
Yeah,
for you.
you chill out over there.
Hey, Barry, you
your
were
guy's
there.
not even playing. Your guy's not
You
even
take it
playing.
back. Barry, you were there this weekend. How did Tully look? And you know, we've seen in the last 2 weeks looking really sharp. How did he look?
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, you got 2 weeks before him where he went, what, 17.1 and did 28 strikeouts and
Yeah.
Five hits total over those two almost two complete games. So those were just crazy numbers. And you know, Carson and I were texting during that game, and I'm like, and I liked Carson's comment. Okay, Tully is actually mortal. He looked good until he didn't look good. So and his numbers weren't bad when he left. It was just, you know, it finally got to him. So I will say the one that impressed me the most on Friday, and I can't remember exactly what he did, but it was Sam Myers. I think he had three hits on Friday's game. So
he was three for four. Yep.
Yeah, 3 for 4. Yeah, we were talking about that, and it was great to see him. Especially, like I said, he had so many family there. That was fun to be right in their neighborhood and hear them cheering as that was happening. So, I hate to say this to you guys, but I'm gonna have to leave the rest of this to the three of you, and I'm gonna have to step out. So,
thank you. Thanks, Barry, for joining us. Enjoy your dinner.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Have a good night.
Talk to you later.
Carson, question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that sixth inning, doom inning, was maybe arm fatigue finally setting in? He in the last 2 weeks, he's totally thrown over 250 pitches combined. But, you know, and in this one alone, he threw 106. Do we think some of it maybe just might have been arm fatigue? He got to the sixth inning, his stuff wasn't as sharp because he's been, you know, going so long lately.
I think that was part of it. I definitely think that it, like, his off speed didn't look as sharp as some of the innings before that. But I mean, I think kind of like we've been talking about, that inning was kind of just Cincinnati being the better hitting team when it mattered. Maybe not on the day, because I mean, like we've said, I mean, TCU essentially outplayed them. They had TCU had eight hits, Cincinnati had five, Cincinnati had an error, TCU didn't. I mean, it's just finding that the guy that can get the job done. And normally that was Logan Maxwell, but he had an off day.
Yeah. Nate, lineup wasn't there again. Carson Bowen over 3 on the night. We saw Jack Basir on left field. Luke Boyer's at third base. You want to talk about that real quick, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what Luke Boyer's. I almost think Luke Boyer's might have said something. Hey, coach, I can play third base.
Yeah.
And I mean, he didn't look terrible. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, he looked like he must have done it in high school or something, because he looked kind of good out there. But I don't know what Sarluce is doing about these lineups. I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong. I kind of am, but how are we supposed to find a rhythm with our hitting if every player is being changed out and you're taking out our best hitter like Logan Maxwell? I'm just like, it's just goes beyond me. I know we have a lot of injuries going on. Chad's down, Brody Green's down. But you almost wonder what's going on within this program that we don't know. It almost feel like there's an inner, like they're not hyped up like they were last year. And it's kind of scary. I'm almost worried that there's a bad seed planted, and I don't know what it is. And they got a bad bug, and I think that's what's got us.
To me, just kind of like, even watching whenever TCU was like winning games, it seems like some players maybe like aren't bought in, I guess. Because I mean that kind of thought can definitely creep in if you're playing for a team that went to the College World Series and had five or six guys, however many guys we had drafted last year, one of which, Braden Taylor, one of the greatest TCU hitters to come through TCU. I feel like that can be kind of a daunting thing, but I feel like it's kind of up to the coaching staff at the top to make sure that everybody's bought into the program.
Yeah, I mean, you watch that game and like, there's nothing that really like stood out to me besides the fact that the offense just didn't get it done. Peyton totally looked good. Ben Abel came out of the bullpen and he shut him down.
I mean, it's the blow up inning. TCU is a top 10 team in the nation when you don't have a blow up inning. But when TCU has their blow up inning, they probably sit around 50, 55 in the country. Like, that's just from watching kind of the box scores, that's how it's shaking out to be.
Yeah, I really think that we were kind of hyperinflated because TCU's been having these blow up innings since the beginning of the season, right? We saw it definitely in the Globe Life series against USC and Arizona State, but the offense was just able to come back. It's like, I mean, now when the offense is struggling, you just can't come back.
Well, I mean, we've addressed this before as well. Like even the 13 game win streak, we saw problems with the lineup. I mean, it was fairly evident. Abilene Christian 4-0, UCLA 4-3, Texas State 6-5. I mean, the offense definitely had some issues, but they were just less apparent because I think TCU wasn't playing as much competition.
Yeah. We'll save that deep dive for a little bit later. Let's get through the rest of the games right now. Second game of the weekend, 6-2 loss. Again, Luis Rodriguez had a nightmare inning, and the offense only scored 2 runs. And this one, they were held to 3 hits on the entire game. The only runs that game coming from a Carson Bowen double to left field. I mean, Louis kind of struggled to start, and then Mason Bixby's kind of the story of this game, right? Carson, you were big on him.
Yeah, that was elite work by Bixby. Like, I think that once his off speed gets a little bit more consistent, I think that he will get chances to start later in the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they 7 runners left on base this game for the Frogs. 9 left on base the game before. And I mean, it's the lineup's completely different. You got Jake Dwyer at DH, Zach Wattis at first, Luke Boyer still back at third, and Jack Masier back at left field. Like, I mean, is that just, hey, you know what? I texted our group text, right? And Nate, I wonder if you feel in this way, but TCU was already down 2-0 going into the second. I was like, this game might be over.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was more – I think it's more of him knowing that this weekend is about to go south. So let's try – let's use this as our last hurrah to try out what we got, especially with these injuries happening right now. I do think we'll see Brody Green back for this Texas Tech series, hopefully. And I'm hopeful on that. At least as a DH role. And so I think it's a last hurrah seeing which of these freshmen are it, which are not, which can he trust, which can he not, and fielding and everything. And I think it was a last, after that first loss, once Tolley gave up that loss, I think that's when he was like, okay, I got to figure this out, and then let's throw it. And then I think that's why we're seeing these lineup changes, but I don't know. I feel like the freshman getting thrown into that situation where we're already going to be losing is kind of tough because you're getting in that mentality of, oh, now I got to be a hero.
Yeah. I mean, Carson, what was it? I just had it right here. No Logan Maxwell, no Curtis Byrne in this lineup. We believe the Logan Maxwell one is due to maybe a slight lingering issue. Just because he's been dealing with a lower leg injury. We don't know what yet. No Curtis Byrne, though.
Yeah, that was definitely – that was shocking to see. But I think – I don't know. Because Sarlos obviously went into this series kind of saying, all right, I'm going to switch up the lineup every day and just see what sticks. I don't know if taking – Curtis Byrne out of that equation is the right answer. Sam Myers, by the way, 2-for-4.
Hey, Sam Myers, by the way, and we're going to have a conversation about him. He has the highest average on the team.
I was gonna, I mean, we can go into that question right now if you've got one about it real
Yeah.
quick, because I, because I'm,
why is Sam Myers not in the lineup more?
so okay, I understand why he was taken out of the lineup, because he, I mean, he wasn't hitting the ball. That was kind of the fact of the matter. Okay. Just point blank. But I don't know why he wasn't getting opportunities until now.
Myers,
Like
I do.
we
I
saw
wait.
an at bat like here and there, but
He's got 37 at bats in conference play, right? For comparison, Chase Brunson has 50. So about 13 at bat difference. Sam Myers has a 324 average, 342 on base percentage, a 432 slugging, and a 775 OPS.
He doesn't need to leave the lineup for the rest of the season. Like,
It makes. Nate, if we're talking right now, you can either have Luke Boyer's back out in right field or Sam Myers out in right field. Who are you taking?
oof. To be honest, I'm gonna be taking Sam Myers. It's hard because Luke Boyer is such a defensive threat. And he has been hitting well lately, but Sam Myers has earned that respect, especially from his teammates. He's hitting the ball. He hasn't really done much wrong. And I've always believed if you earn that position, you get it. And I feel like he's that person right now. And I feel like we could use Boyers elsewhere, whether it be using him at third base, who knows, until people get healthy, or DH in him. I think there's better ways of using him than putting him out there at right field.
I mean, I feel like you just take Sam Myers because you have to score runs to win a baseball game. You can't just do it with pitching. I'm sorry, like even the best teams in the country, I've seen starting pitchers from every team in the country get lit up in the first 3 innings, give up like 5 or 6 runs. They're still going to win that game 10-6 because of their bullpen and because they can actually score. Like, I feel like you have to choose offense over everything right now.
You know, I think it's funny you say that. Let's play a little game right now, right?
No,
So we're gonna
none of
play
your
a little we're
games.
gonna play a little
None of
game,
your
Carson. I know how much you love these.
fine.
Out of the TCU players who have gotten at minimum 35 at bats,
right.
can you tell me the players with the two lowest averages on the team? If you had a guess, with at least
Lowest
35 at bats in conference play, and we're
in
talking conference
conference.
play only.
Okay. I think it's Carson Bowen. And then I think it's 35 at bats.
Now, with at least 35 at bats.
It might be Anthony Silva.
Okay, Nate, what are your guesses for the two lowest averages with at least 35 bats in conference play?
I'm gonna say Anthony Silva and Peyton Chetney.
Both of you are wrong.
Oh, I didn't think about Chetney. Dang.
Both
But
are wrong.
that's still wrong though. Shoot.
Curtis Byrne with a
Really?
160
Oh, I
with a
almost said Curtis.
167 batting average.
Oh.
And the lowest batting average with at least 35 at bats in conference play. This one's going to shock you because it really shocked me. It's Rennie Robinson. He's
Really?
batting a
What?
160.
That can't
How?
be right. What?
Yeah, it's very shocking.
I've seen him go 2 for 3 like 7 times, I feel like.
160. Lowest batting average among qualified batters with that.
Wow.
But the fact that all of you guys said these different names and none of those were the correct answers leads to a way bigger issue with this TCU offense, right? Like, there are four batters under a 200 batting average right now in conference play. Carson Bowen, Peyton Chatagnier, Curtis Byrne, and Rennie Robinson. Silva's got a 245,
Yeah.
and Chase Brunson has a 255. Logan Maxwell, Luke Boyers, and Sam Myers are all batting over 300.
Interesting. Yeah, that's wow. So, I
That's
mean,
shocking.
yeah.
So the fact that I just used that because I knew none of you would say Ryder Robinson, because I would have never guessed Ryder
No,
Robinson.
I wouldn't have. I almost said Curtis Byrne in place of Silva, but I wasn't. I remember Curtis Byrne going like 3 for 3, like once, and for some reason that swayed my opinion. Like there wasn't other games played.
So we talked about, Curtis Byrne not being in the lineup, right, for Saturday, and I think that might be why, maybe. If you have the ability to be able to sit him for someone, like Reddon Robinson, there's no one else really that could play second, right?
I mean,
Shat's
I think
hurt.
have we seen Jack Beshear there?
No, we could have seen Micah Kendrick maybe as well too there, but
We've seen a couple guys there, but it hasn't been like over 2 innings, probably.
yeah. I don't know. I just think it points to something else. Let's talk about game three real quick, and then we'll go into some more questions and we'll dive deeper.
What if we didn't talk about game three?
Game three.
Thoughts?
TCU went with an opener? Question mark. I'm not 100% sure if Ben Hampton was supposed to be an opener or not. Doesn't matter. He gives up three runs. Gives up four runs in one inning of work, and then it kind of opened up the floodgates. TCU ended up getting run ruled 13-2 in the seventh inning. Pitchers we saw in that game: Ben Hampton, one inning pitched, four earned runs. Zachary Coyer, no out reported, four earned runs, three walks. Cademan
Oh,
Parker,
that one hurt.
4.1 innings pitched, two earned runs. Braden Sloan got one out, allowed one run and two walks. Colt Taylor got an out, allowed one hit. And then Cole Klecker came in. Cole Klecker, yes, the typical starter, Cole Klecker, came in, got one out, and then gave up the walk-off home run to end the game. What are we doing? Mate, what are we doing?
I mean, I have no words. There's something that I guess he just didn't feel like Clicker could do for some reason. And I mean, he has been the one that's been struggling, but you put Ben Hampton in, and I think Ben Hampton's a better relief pitcher, to be honest. And I just don't understand what he was thinking. And I mean, Collier's been proven time again to struggle under pressure. And he goes to him like he's that guy. And it's kind of frustrating. And I think Collier's got a good arm and everything, but I don't understand what he's doing putting him in that situation. And I feel like we wasted a lot of arms in this game. Once we knew that we were down by this much, don't throw Cole Klecker at the end. Just why? Just let him get embarrassed. It was either he's going to give up the walk-off or like walk-off run rule, or he was going to get out of the inning and we'd probably end it there. But I just don't understand his pitching moves. I think Cademan Parker looked the best out of them all. I feel like he keeps getting better as we go along, and I think he's a name to look for as a starter going down the season as well. I like him and Bigsby, so keep an eye on him, but I don't understand what we're doing. I think we're just a lost team right now.
I do feel like Parker could be kind of a Saturday Sunday starter, but my problem is that he's started. Let me see how many starts he has. I think he's started two or three
Last
games,
season he
and
was
I.
a starter though. That's what he was.
Well, yeah, he was a midweek starter.
Yeah, I
Let me
mean, so he has the
see.
experience.
Almost everyone was a starter last season though.
That's
Oh,
true.
the year
True.
went.
So he, yeah. Well, he hasn't done bad. I know that he hasn't looked like his usual self whenever he starts games. That's what kind of worries me. Same thing with Bigsby. Bigsby seems like he's got some nerves when it comes to starts. But yeah, I mean, this game was just kind of nothing good was going to come of it, no matter what TCU did. So.
Yeah. I don't really know which direction to go for this
I
besides
mean, go any direction.
where's Chase Hoover? Didn't see him all weekend, right? I know he can be inconsistent, but he's still a lefty option out of the pen. 2.1 innings pitched is all he's thrown in conference play right now. Colt Taylor, 1.2 innings pitched in conference play. Storm Hierholzer, 2.2 innings pitched. And then you got Zach Morris. The man's got the experience. We're at the point
Yeah.
now. Why aren't we just trying anything?
I mean, where's Mosiello too?
I thought Mosiello was injury related, possibly.
Is he?
I don't know.
After the midweek start?
I don't know. I thought I read something that he injured himself, but maybe not. Yeah, I think we're just kind of seeing the impact that Kyle Ayers and Hunter Hodges have on this bullpen.
And
I think
Hunter didn't even
that's,
travel with the team,
nope.
so.
Yeah. I mean, I expected that.
Carson, I love my games. Let's play another one real quick. Real quick.
Oh, okay, yay. I'm so happy to look like an idiot again. Let's do it.
Who has more innings pitched in conference play? We're gonna go with Mason Bixby, Cademan Parker, Braden Sloan, or Zachary Poyer. Who has the most innings pitched out of those guys?
I don't. Oh.
I got my answer.
Read him again.
Braden Sloan,
Okay.
Mason Bixby,
Okay.
Cademan Parker, and Zachary Coyer. Who has the most innings pitched in
I'm
conference
gonna
play?
assume Cademan Parker.
Nate?
I was gonna say either Cademan Parker or Coyer. And I'm gonna go with Coyer.
Cademan Parker just beats out Zachary Coyer, actually beats him out by a full inning,
Yes.
8.2 to 7.2. But here's where they differ. Cademan Parker's ERA is 2.08. Zachary Coyer's is a 9.39.
Yikes.
So why is
Yeah.
Cademan Parker not your first go-to option, right?
Well, I was surprised that we didn't see him I think 2 weeks ago against OSU. Like I think we saw him once for like an inning and a half, and then they just went to the next guy. No, I feel like with how TCU pitching is right now, you have to extend every guy just a little bit. Like even if you want to do like the different reliever every inning type thing, which I love when teams do that because I think it results in more wins. But I don't think TCU can do that right now. I think you
No.
have to go inning and a half to 2 innings for every guy.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like you look at the guys that have like their opponent batting average, right, against them. Andrew Mosiello in conference play 571 against him. Braden Sloan 341, Zach Morris 357, Zach Coyer 300, Ben Hampton 391, Cole Klecker 329. But then you got guys down in the lower end, right? Mason Bixby, opponent batting average 111. Storm Hierholzer 125, Peyton Tolley 162, Cademan Parker 194, and Ben Abel to 167. Like the options are there. I just feel like we're not utilizing them in the way that they should be, right?
I think Ben Abel is gonna start getting extended really quick here. Like I think we're gonna start seeing him like first out of the pen pretty much.
I mean, at this point, I don't know who's a starter and who's not anyone on the weekend.
I mean, I think it's just trial and error. Peyton Tolley stays in the Friday night spot no matter what. Okay, you've got that. I think
I think Louis are locked in.
I think Louis needs another start for sure. I think kind of like I've always said, I think if he gets lit up, you definitely question it and maybe see if he's more comfortable in that relief role. But I mean, whatever you have to do to get innings at this point, you just have to do.
Nate, anything you want to end with on the weekend before we jump into some questions?
No, I just want to end with like, I think there was some good that we started to see. And I think it was, I mean, yes, the scenario didn't happen the way we'd want it, but I feel like some of our pitchers are starting to get more comfortable. And our hitters are starting to feel more comfortable about there. I mean, I really like the way I mean, Ryder has the lowest batting average, but I like the way he proposes himself. He takes it deep. And he at least puts contact on it. And Chase Brunson looked like an absolute stud a few times this weekend. And I mean, he's going to be a good player for years to come. So there was a lot of good that I saw out of this weekend, but I just don't understand some of the choices that were made. But we'll figure it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, Carson, you any closing thoughts you want to part with before we jump into some questions?
We saw a home run by Chase Brunson, like
And
Nate said.
Luke Boyers.
And Luke Boyer, yeah, Luke Boyer's, that one was awesome.
Yeah, that was cranked. All right, let's jump into some questions. Is it time for a full panic mode? Is it full press the red button, sound the alarms? We're done. Maybe we're done. Nate, you're shaking your head no.
No. I'll give it this last series. If we go in here and sweep Tech or even gain the series, we have hope. And I hope we light them up. I mean, I remember last year we lit up Trendon Parrish as he started on the mound, went to high school with him. But so anything can happen. Tech pitching is not the best. So let's get it again.
Yeah, Carson, are you ready to press the red button yet? Or are you hesitant?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. To start the season, I believe I was, I think, 4 for 5 or 5 for 5 in like predictions, just stuff I would predict that happens during the game. Since then, I am like 0 for 8. So if it's me that's causing this, I will do my duty and I will just go the other way. And just from here on out, I'll go the other way of what my brain thinks is going to happen. Yes, it's time for full panic mode. This is not the team that we saw coming into this season. I don't think we're going to see this team again, he said sarcastically. I think the season is over.
All right, clip it. All right, goes to the next question. Scale of 1 to 10. Carson, how confident are you that this team makes a regional? Not hosts, not even when I get fancy, but how confident are you they make a regional?
Hosts? Okay, buddy.
Well, scale of 1 to 10. 10 being, book it right now, they're going to at least make a regional appearance.
I think 4 out of 10. Because, okay. Because if they would have won the series in Cincinnati, I would be like, yeah, this team is still going to compete in the regional. But right now, I really have doubts. Based on TCU's remaining schedule, you've got Kansas, Texas. I mean, Texas Tech this coming weekend. Like, that's a gauntlet for the Big 12.
Yeah,
and Nate, you still have to play West Virginia.
Nate, you?
Book my hotel wherever we go. I don't think we're hosting, but book my hotel wherever we go. We're going to host. We're going to go to a regional. I have faith that when our guys come back, we'll start to see that same spark that we had. Just wait till Brody Green, the best hitter, comes back. It's going to be
Logan Maxwell, who?
The second coming.
Yeah, we'll see who has the higher batting average by the end of the season. We'll see.
I am at a 9 out of 10. And the only reason I'm so high is because if you look at last year's parallel with this team, they swept the team, right? And then they got swept embarrassingly by West Virginia. And then they turned it on. It's kind of looking like the same thing right now, right? You got Tech coming to town.
Who did we sweep before West Virginia swept us?
I believe it was Baylor.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Which, if you've been following any of the Big 12 games, who knows who's good right now and who's not? But we'll get into that a little bit later as well. All right, next question. Carson, in your own humble opinion, what does this offense need to do to turn things around?
This is why I do not coach a D1 baseball team. Honestly, like as annoying as it is seeing a different lineup, I think you have to keep doing it. I mean, that's the only way that you're going to find something that sticks. You can't really, like, I think there are some arguments for keeping the same lineup every time and giving at-bats sparingly, but besides a couple guys, I feel like this TCU team is incredibly young in its talent, which it is, but I feel like you kind of got to use that as one of your strengths where, yeah, we have freshmen and sophomores that can plug in wherever.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. I mean, none of us are coaches. We're all not coaches for a reason, right? But in your humble opinion, Nate, what does the offense do to turn it around?
I'm totally disagreeing with Carson there.
Really?
I think we got to stick with stick with the solid lineup.
What solid lineup?
I mean, we're gonna get that lineup back when Brody Green comes back. When Chatagnier comes back, it's got to be the same lineup.
Right.
I love giving freshmen opportunity, but it's just swatting at flies isn't gonna cut it. So staying at that and getting at bats is the only way to face these fast pitchers. So you got to figure it out quickly.
So you're saying pre Kansas series that lineup.
Yes.
Okay. Let's. I'm not gonna say play a game, Carson. Don't worry. Let's do a
I already.
little. Let's do a little bit of an exercise. Carson, give me your lineup.
Yay.
What lineup do you want to see? If everyone's healthy, what lineup do you want to see?
I want to see Chase Brunson, Sam Myers. Think, am I going like in order of the actual lineup?
Let's just go by position. Let's just go. Give me your three outfielders. Give me your four infielders. Give me your
Oh,
catcher.
okay. Chase Brunson in center, Sam Myers in right field, left field Logan Maxwell, third base. I mean Brody Green if he's healthy. If
Yeah,
he's healthy,
everyone's
I'll.
healthy. Everyone's
Yeah.
healthy in this
Okay.
situation.
Okay. Everybody's healthy. Silva, obviously, it's short. I'm taking Chatagnier at second for the defense. I'm DHing Ryder Robinson. First base, I'm going Carson Bowen. Catcher, Curtis Byrne. Pitcher, Peyton Tolley.
Okay. Nate, is that your idea? Is that the same lineup you'd run, or where would you differ at?
I'm gonna go with Luke Boyers at right field once we get things rolling. I love Sam Myers. But Brunson center, left field Logan Maxwell, third base, Brody Green, shortstop. I'm gonna bounce back and forth. It depends. Silva's not been hitting well. But I'm gonna go with Silva. Chat
Versus
at
base.
second. First base, I'm going Curtis Byrne, Carson Bowen catching, and I'm going Jack Beisier at DH. He puts contact on the ball.
See, guys, Logan Maxwell's got to be the DH for me, right? You give me an outfield possibility of Sam Myers, Chase Brunson, Luke Boyers. It's one of the best defensive outfields in the country.
Logan's fast though. He's tracked bound balls all year.
I don't know that he's necessarily fast, but I think that he
He
just gets.
reads the ball well, but
I was gonna say he gets really good reads off balls. Like
yeah,
it's very rare that you see him misplay a fly ball.
I'm going Sam Myers, Chase Brunson, Luke Boyers in the outfield, right? Logan Maxwell's my DH.
Okay.
My third base, Brody Green, of course.
I was
Shortstop,
about to say.
Anthony Silva. Second base
Shocker.
is Peyton Chatagnier. First base is actually, let me switch something. Give me Ryder Robinson at third base. Give me Brody Green at first base. And give me Curtis Byrne behind the dish.
I didn't realize Brody Green played first.
Yeah. He midweek game 2 weeks ago, I believe, is when he played it before he hasn't played since.
Okay.
Yeah, he plays first base. I don't know. I just think the pieces are there, right? Hopefully everyone's healthy going into this week. Logan Maxwell, Curtis Byrne, we assume weren't playing because of injury. Brody Green still battling his groin injury. Peyton Chatagnier still dealing with the knee injury from the overextension against Houston. So obviously they're still missing key players, right? And it just kind of
Right.
hurts. But
Well, I think the fact that we all said that we all included Brody Green in our lineup tells you just how important he is. I mean, he's one of the best hitters on the team. He doesn't
he's a stud.
have extraordinary power, which, by the way, I do actually want to touch on power. At the beginning of the season and throughout the season, I have said that TCU doesn't need power. I am throwing that opinion out the window. I was dead wrong. Dead wrong. No, we have to have two or three guys that can get it out of the yard. Right now it's Chase Brunson and uh-oh.
Luke Boyers with the wind behind his back.
I mean yeah, but my problem
Don't forget Kurt. He's got the power.
Yeah.
When was his last home run?
Last
Two
weekend
games
against
ago.
Houston.
Yeah.
Was it last weekend? Dang it, I thought it was later. Either way.
Nice try. Nice try.
I thought it was longer than that. No, but like, I don't know. From last year's TCU team that probably got it out an average of two times a game almost, like this team really doesn't have the same amount of power. But then again, this team doesn't have the same veteran hitting. I mean, you've got Luke Boyers, Curtis Byrne, and that's pretty much it. Plus Anthony Silva, I guess. But, I mean,
Peyton Chatagnier from another team.
Yeah, I don't include him because I do think that transfers late in their college career tend to struggle just because new environment, new team, new guys. I do think that plays a factor. But, yeah, that I mean, kind of those are my thoughts on this hitting team.
I don't. Yeah, I've really got no words. I mean, I've just kind of, hey, you know what? On to next weekend where you get Texas Tech, who seems to be turning a corner. So good luck. So, you know, all right, let's just go into the Big 12. Let's wrap up the Big 12 as a whole this weekend. I don't want to talk about TCU anymore before I have to bring out the Texas whiskey that's sitting in my kitchen right now. All right, let's go into the Big 12 this weekend. Pretty good weekend of baseball. Cincinnati swept TCU, of course. West Virginia, 2-1 on the weekend over Kansas. Then we saw UCF, 2-1 over Kansas State. Oklahoma State won the Battle of Bedlam, 2-1 over Oklahoma. BYU upset Texas and beat them 2-1 in the series for the weekend. And Texas Tech swept Houston. Nate, which one stands out to you the most in that one?
I would say Texas Tech. Like you said, they're turning the corner. We'll see if they can continue that or TCU can halt them in their place. But I think that stood out the most to me.
Yeah. Carson?
BYU beating Texas, not because it's interesting, just because it's funny.
Yeah. I will say the Texas Tech one stood out to me the most simply because they gave up about 8 runs a game to Houston. Still swept them, so the offense is still deadly. But that pitching is still struggling.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for the upcoming weekend series against us where one of them has to give.
It'll be interesting. For sure.
Let me take that back. I said that same exact thing in the preview, that one of the things has to give. It's either Cincinnati pitching or TCU hitting, and Cincinnati pitching won. So, for the conference standing, West Virginia and Oklahoma are tied in first at 8-4. Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, Texas are all tied for third at 7-5. UCF and Texas Tech are 8-7. They are behind everyone because of winning or percentage. Kansas is at 7-8. Baylor's at 5-7. BYU's at 6-9. TCU's in 12th at 5-10. And Houston is in 13th and last at 4-11. Not a good look. Is TCU in must-win mode? At least every single game from here on out must. Not for the weekend. You don't have to win. You don't have to sweep, but you have to win the weekend series, and you have to win every midweek because you still DBU coming.
Are you talking about Big 12 tournament or just round of 64?
I am talking for the Big 12 tournament.
Oh yeah, it's win every weekend. You have to. It's not an if thing.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they're only 3 games behind the first place. They're 5-10, but first place only has 8 wins, right? So they're technically 3 games behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
TCU kind of gets screwed because their last weekend series of the season is a non-conference, right? Everyone else gets a little break in between. TCU's last weekend series of the season is a non-conference.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's rough.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to touch on this one? No midweek games. Like I said earlier, games have been canceled due to the impending weather, and maybe the team just needed to restart their mind, but yeah, no midweek games. So we'll be back Wednesday or Thursday to talk about the Texas Tech series with our good old friend Brett, who will be covered in Texas Tech Red Raider gear. All right, anything else you guys want to talk about before we close this up?
Real quick, who was y'all's MVPs of the weekend?
Chase Brunson.
Nate?
Sam Myers.
I think I'm going to agree with Sam Myers. I think his hitting definitely provided TCU with some kind of confidence in hitting. So, yeah.
Also, Beer was the MVP of the weekend after watching these games.
I like your words, funny man.
All right.
Pitching, I'm going to go with Cademan.
Yeah. Hey, when it came to pitching, I don't want to talk about any of them. So, all right, that'll do it for this week. Like I said, we'll be back Wednesday or Thursday to do the preview for Texas Tech. Thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you in the next one.
See you guys.